Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like, love others as you love yourself. So the question is, do you love? I mean, do you really live the definition of love? Are you patient? Are you kind? Do you celebrate in the blessings of others? Are you humble? Have you died to self? Are you slow to anger? Do you keep no record of wrongs? Do you always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere? This is what it means to love, the way God intended. So the question remains, do you love?
Well, good morning, Christ Church. So glad you're here. Happy Valentine's weekend. You'll want to pull out your Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. You're going to want to find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you. You know, we are concluding our study through the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And, you know, it's arguably the happiest book in the Bible. We've been looking at this over the last 7 weeks. You know, it was interesting that I was thinking about this. You know, when I first started working out at the gym a couple of years ago with a personal trainer, you know, it seemed to me that there was that this was just a random tour, you know, through the free weights and through the exercise machines. I mean, all I knew is, you know, that for an hour every day, my lungs and my brain was deprived of oxygen. You know, but what I really realized, you know, sometime later was there was really a method behind his madness. What looked to be that random tour through those machines really was a well thought out, well planned workout routine in order to make me physically healthy. Well, in the same way, in the same kind of sense, you know, that's what we do at Christ Church as well. You know, we go through working out different sets of spiritual muscles in order to make us think and act and live like well-rounded, healthy followers of Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to be talking about a workout routine for a happy heart. That's what Paul is talking to us about today. You know, over the past 7 weeks, we've been focusing on how we can develop the habits necessary to live in happiness and joy. And today, once again, we're going to see what Paul has to teach us about a workout routine for a happy heart. And what Paul tells us today is that there are three qualities that you really need to build into your life in order to be happy. I got to tell you know, your happiness is serious business. Your happiness is serious business here, folks. And if you really want to be happy, you've got to work out. You've got to put into practice these habits in order to be the kind of person that God's created you to be, to build these qualities in your life in order for your heart to be happy. So today we're in the book of Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 19 to 30. We're going to dive right into it. It's on your outline. You'll want to pull that out if you haven't already. So let's dive in. I hope you're ready for some Bible study because we're going to do it today. Here it is. Paul is writing. He writes this. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Okay, let's stop right there. Well, we didn't get very far, that's for sure, in the first reading here. But, you know, I want to remind you, where was Paul? Paul was in the city of what? He was in the city of Rome, that's right. And where was he in Rome? He was in prison, right? Now, while he was there, he was doing some writing. And one of the letters that he wrote was to the church at Philippi. It was a church that he had started, that he had planted. It's in the present-day country of Greece, in the city of Philippi. And I realized this week that I never really showed you where it was on a map. So I want to do that today. Go ahead and put it up there. Linda, thank you. You can see Philippi up there on the top left, and that's the present-day country of Greece. It's there on the Aegean Sea. When you go toward the right over there, you see the country of Turkey, and many of the seven churches of Revelation are located right there in Turkey. And if you keep on coming down, you'll see Jerusalem. So you can see where it is in relationship to Jerusalem. But Philippi is in the country of Greece. Now, I've got two pictures to show you of the modern day ruins that are there right now in Philippi. This is a real place in real time in a real nation in Greece. These are some of the ruins there, and it's actually a very, very pretty place. Put the next picture up. You can see the snow-capped mountains there in the background, and toward the front, if you keep on going several miles, is where the Aegean Sea is. So there's the present-day city of Philippi, the ruins there. Now, what I want you to know is that when he was writing to the Philippians, what he was doing was he actually was writing a thank you note. If you'll remember from last week, when Paul was in prison, the church of Philippi heard that Paul was in prison and he was needing money. Unlike the way it is generally here in our nation, when you're ever put into prison, your needs are taken care of. I mean, they're going to feed you and make sure that you have something to wear and that kind of thing. Well, in that day and time, that was all on you. I mean, they could put you in there and you'd just die in there if nobody provided you any financial support, if you didn't have financial support on your own. Well, Paul didn't have that financial support, and it got back to the church at Philippi that he needed it. And so they sent some guy from Philippi to Rome to be able to provide this support. And he was writing a thank you note back, which is our letter of the Philippians. Okay, now back to the text. Here we go. Let me read it now. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. He's talking about Timothy here, who will show, look at that, genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not of those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him, that is Timothy, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Let's stop. You know, in other words, here he's saying to the people in Philippi, I'm hoping that I'm going to get out of jail, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to join you and see you face to face there in the city of Philippi. That's what he was talking about. Okay, verse 25. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Now, that's a guy's name, a Greek name, this is the name of the guy from the Philippian church that brought the financial offering to Paul in Rome, from Philippi to Rome. Okay, so Epaphroditus, that's the name of the guy. And he calls him my brother, my co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. That is, I'll tell you this, he almost died in that journey from Philippi to Rome, bringing Paul his financial gift. He almost died on that trip. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give. Okay, this is God's word for us, and we are, of course, God's people here. Okay, you know, you might not think that what I just read was a very meaty text right here. You might think, well, you know, this is one of those texts that you read over real quick in order to get to something good, you know. But, you know, if you believe that, you'd actually be wrong, because Paul right here in this text has given us three really great qualities to put into practice in our life. That is, he's given us a really cool workout routine to make our heart heart happy. And so what Paul has just told us here is that he plans to send Timothy and this other guy that you've probably never heard of, Epaphroditus, from Rome back to the Philippian church. He's planning to send them back. And then Paul praises these two guys as role models. And we're going to learn from them today. And this is what he says about Timothy. Look at verse 20 right here. Paul said about Timothy, I have no one else like him. Let's stop right there for a second to say this. You know, I tend to believe that if Paul, you know, the guy who wrote the majority of the New Testament, if this guy Paul says, look, I know of no one like Timothy in the whole wide world, you know, I guess we probably ought to pay attention to that. You know, it means that, you know, he's pretty important. In fact, two of the books in the New Testament are 1st and 2nd, anybody know? Timothy, right? 1st and 2nd Timothy. These are letters from Paul to Timothy. Again, he just shows that this guy Timothy is pretty important. We need to pay attention to him. Then, this is what he says about this other guy that you've never heard of, Epaphroditus. It says in verse 29-30, so then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. And look what he says, and honor people like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life in order to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. Okay, so what is Paul telling us here? He's saying, okay, I'm sending you these two guys back to Philippi in order that I may be cheered, in order that you may be glad, and so that I may have less anxiety. Now, this is what he's talking to us about today, and we're going to find out now the three workout, the workout routines, the three things, the workout routines for a happy heart. Now, I got to tell you that this doesn't apply only to married relationships, but it applies to, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend relationships. It applies to your friends and coworkers and your neighbors. It applies to every relationship that you have. If you want to be happy, you can strengthen your relationship. And I got to tell you here, now listen to me say this. I've said it many times. You know, what I'm about to tell you is easy to say. What I'm about to tell you is easy to preach. What I'm about to tell you is absolutely difficult to put into practice. And the reason being is it is a workout routine, just like going to the gym. You know, when you go into the gym and you're on the treadmill or you're lifting these weights and so forth, you know, it's not an easy thing. It's an exhaustive thing. But I tell you, the results are always worth it. And in the same way, what I'm about to tell you today from Paul is worth it. The results will be worth it if you put these workout routines into practice in your life. Okay, let's get on with it. Here it is. Number one, first one, move the focus away from yourself. This is what Paul is talking. If you want to have a happy heart, move the focus away from yourself. Why is that? Well, this is the starting point to all happiness here. I've got to move the focus away from myself. In other words, I have to care about more than just me. I've got to care about the needs of those around me. If all I think about is me, myself, and I'm going to be a pretty miserable person, in other words. I've got to move the focus away from myself. And Paul gives us Timothy as an example of this. In fact, we see it in verse 20-21. He says this, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Everyone looks out for their own interests. Now, would you agree with me that last statement that there is true for most people? Everybody looks out for their own interests. You know, not a lot of people care truly about others. Notice what Paul is saying right here. No one else like him. In other words, unselfish people are very hard to find. You know, no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. You know, I tend to think it's kind of humorous that there are a lot of people who just enjoy talking about themselves. But the moment you start saying something about yourself, they don't want to hear that. You know, they're much more willing to talk about themselves, but really have no interest in what's going on in your own life. In fact, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to circle those, that two words right there, looks out. You need to circle those words right there because everybody seems to look out for their own interest. And what I'm talking about here, folks, is a matter of focus, a matter of focus. The key to happiness, first key to happiness, is to change, to shift, to move the focus away from yourself. You have to move the focus away from yourself. You need to look out for the needs of others. Now, I got to tell you, that's not something that we normally do. It's not something we normally do. No, you know, to move and shift the focus away from ourselves is something we have to teach. It's something that you have to learn. In fact, if it wasn't that way, you know, we wouldn't have to teach our children to share their toys. But in fact, we do have to teach all of this to our kids in order for them not to turn out to be self-centered and stuck up. We have to learn to shift the focus, to move the focus away from ourselves. All right, I love the way the Phillips translation puts it. It says this, all the others seem to be wrapped up in their own affairs. Would you circle the phrase wrapped up? All the other folks seem to be wrapped up in their own affairs. You know, for those of you who are single adults in this room, let me give you a little bit of fatherly advice. Let me tell you, here's the deal. You know, it's better to sit home without a date than to date someone who is all wrapped up in himself or herself. You know, let me tell you, a man or a woman who is all wrapped up in himself or herself is no gift to you. Guarantee you. It will be far better for you to wait for someone than to start getting involved in someone who can only think about himself or herself. You know, a moment of true confession here. You know, I was thinking about this week, it occurred to me the number of times that I personally have failed to shift the focus away from myself to others in the room, where I've ignored the needs of people that I genuinely love because I wasn't paying attention. Times that I was so either wrapped up in my own self or whatever was going on in my own life that I completely missed the needs of those around me. And I got to tell you, it saddens me to even think about that. But I want you to know that, you know, it's not an easy thing. You have to work on it. It's a workout routine in order to shift the focus, to move the focus away from yourself. You know, because everything in our culture and everything in our nation teaches, our nature teaches us to be self-centered. In fact, I tend to believe that even as a nation, we're becoming more and more self-centered as a country. In fact, we don't even know when we're being brainwashed, in fact. You know, I found some ads this week I want to share with you. Here's one from Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola tells us that happiness is something we drink. You know, and all of you know, I love a Diet Coke. You know, I mean, I had one this morning. You know, I enjoy a Diet Coke, but I was thinking about the fact that, you know, there have been many times that I've been sad before, during, and after drinking that Diet Coke. You know, having that Diet Coke didn't make all my problems go away. But I tell you what, that sells product. Here's another one. Audi came out with quite an audacious statement that says, joy finally has meaning. Now, I tell you, that is quite an audacious statement right there. I mean, the problem is, if your parents are dying and your kids are failing in school, getting in that Audi to drive home is not going to make you feel all that much better. Joy does not have meaning in the car. It will not make your problems go away. You see, that's what I'm trying to tell us is that, we don't even recognize when it is that we are being brainwashed. You know, the bottom line is everything in our culture teaches us to be self-centered, but the truth is that to be consistently happy, I've got to move the focus away from myself. That's number one. Let's look at number two. You know, in order to have a good workout routine for a happy heart, I need to stand up as a person of trust. I need to move the focus away from myself, and I need to stand up as a person of trust. You need to become a person that people trust. In fact, look at Proverbs 13:15 right here. It says this, those who can't be trusted, let's read together, are on the road to ruin. Those who can't be trusted are on the road to ruin. You know, I think it's really obvious, folks. You know, it's obvious that the more that people trust you, the happier you're going to be. If few people trust you, you're not going to be very happy. If nobody trusts you, you're going to be flat out miserable in life. You know, Paul is telling us here, we need to stand up as people who are trustworthy and reliable and dependable and consistent. And if so, we'll be a whole lot happier in life. Now, again, how do we see this from Paul? He gives us the example of Timothy. Check it out right here, verse 22. He says, Timothy has proved himself. He's proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul is saying, look, you know, let me tell you something about this guy, Timothy. I've watched this guy in action. This guy's the real deal. He's genuine. He's authentic. You know, I've seen him in all kinds of circumstances. He's trustworthy and dependable and reliable. You can count on this guy, Timothy. That's what he was saying right here. Check out how God's Word translation says what Paul said. He said, but you know what kind of person Timothy proved to be. Let me ask you, do people know who you really are? Do people around you know who you really are? I mean, are you a stand-up person of trust? You know, if you're not, you're probably not very happy. The more people trust you, the happier you're going to be. Now, let me tell you this. You know, anytime that you go to a bank, if you're going to apply for a new credit card or you're going to get a loan or maybe you want to refinance your house or something like that, you know what the banks do? The banks always do something, and that is they always do a credit check. They want to make sure that you're worthy of credit. Now, let me let you in on a little secret. The banks aren't the only ones doing the credit check. Everybody around you is doing a credit check on your life. Everybody around you is looking out to see if you are a person of trust, if you are reliable and dependable. Everybody around you is doing a credit check to see if you're the real deal, to see if you are who you claim to be, or if you are, in fact, the phony. In Greek theater, during the time of Plato, one actor would play many parts and therefore would wear a mask. And so when he was playing one part, he'd wear this mask and then he'd go backstage, grab the other mask and come out and then play another part and then go backstage, grab another mask and come out and play another part. Now, the Greek word for actor is hypocritus right there. It's the exact word where we get in English the word what? Hypocrite, meaning a pretender, someone who is not who he claims to be. In other words, folks, you need to be a stand-up person of trust. But how do you develop that relationship of trust? Let me tell you. First thing you need to do is you need to live with integrity. You need to live with integrity right here. You know, make sure that your actions match your words. Make sure your actions match your words. Now, integrity doesn't mean that you got to be perfect. You know, if perfection was the standard of integrity, then none of us in here would have integrity, right? Because we're all flawed human beings, right? We are. We're all imperfect human beings. We're all flawed human beings. You know, the deal is you just have to make sure your actions match up with your words. Here's what wise old King Solomon had to say about that. He said, reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in sweltering heat, refreshing. I love the way he said it there in the Message translation. Reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in sweltering heat. They're refreshing. They're refreshing. But look at the opposite. Look what he said about the opposite of that. Putting confidence in an unreliable person is like chewing with a sore tooth or trying to run on a broken foot. Isn't that great? You know what he's trying to say? Putting trust in an unreliable person is painful. It is painful. I mean, can we get a witness? Yeah, it is painful to put trust in an unreliable person. So in other words, live with integrity. Live with integrity. You'll build a reputation as a stand-up person of trust. Give you the last one real quick, and that's this, is to keep your promises. Keep your promises. Keep your promises. If you want to be a stand-up person of trust, you're going to keep your word. In fact, the psalmist said here in Psalm 15:4, he says, they always do what they promise, no matter how much it may cost. In other words, folks, he's saying, keep your word, even if it costs you to do it. If you've made the promise, keep it up. If you've made the promise, stay true to your word. That will make you a stand-up person of trust. Okay, all right, almost done. So here it is. If you want to, your workout routine to make your heart happy, number one, you have to move the focus away from yourself. Number two, you have to be a what? A stand-up person of trust. All right, think about it again. Move the focus away from yourself. Be a stand-up person of trust. And finally, this. Learn to work well with others. Learn to work well with others. Learn to work well with others. In other words, be a team player. Learn the skill of cooperation, the skill of working together. If you can't play well with others, flat out, you won't be a happy person. So what do I need to do in order to play well with others? What do I need to do to be able to work well? That is, you got to learn to cooperate. Write that in. You got to learn to cooperate. Because I got to tell you, this is not something you're going to automatically do. That's why it takes so much energy to consistently model and teach our children to play well with each other. That's what we have to do. We can spend time as parents teaching our kids to cooperate because it's not natural. Remember, it is everything in our culture and everything in our nature teaches us to be self-centered. Paul uses the second guy, Epaphroditus, as an example of this quality. He says this, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, look at that, my brother, my co-worker, and fellow soldier. If you get a chance, just circle that phrase right there. My brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now remember, this guy Epaphroditus was the guy that he was a member of the Philippian church. And when they heard that Paul, in prison, in Rome, trying to appeal his execution from Nero there, they sent Epaphroditus from Philippi to Rome. He almost died in the process of getting there, but he was determined to make it there. In other words, Paul was telling us, you know what? This guy is a team player. This guy is no lone ranger. This guy, he's no prima donna here. You know, this guy knows how to work well with others. This guy is the real deal. He has worked and fought by my side. Now, I just want to tell you something sincerely, and that's this, right from my own heart to you. You know, the better you learn this skill, the happier you're going to be. The better you learn how to cooperate with others, the happier you're going to be. Because if you don't know how to work well with people who are different than you, you're going to have a pretty miserable life. And I'll tell you why. Because most of the world is different than you are. You know, and the reality is, if you can't work with people who are different than you, then you are shutting the door on most of the rest of the world. This is a key piece in order to make your heart happy, to learn to cooperate with others. In fact, Jesus, in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, He gave one of these Beatitudes, and in Matthew 5:9, Message translation says it like this, you're blessed, This is, you're happy. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. You see, folks, if you learn to cooperate, your unhappiness will decrease and your happiness will increase exponentially. Last thing, in order to cooperate, here's the second thing. You need to learn to be considerate. Be considerate of those around you, folks. The more considerate you are of others, I can guarantee you, the happier you're going to be. The more inconsiderate you are of others, the more unhappy you'll be. And Paul is telling us here, folks, we've got to learn to be thoughtful. You've got to learn to be kind. You've got to learn to be sympathetic. You've got to learn to be considerate. You've got to learn to be understanding of others. And again, Paul gives us the second guy, Epaphroditus, as an example of this. Verses 25, 26. I feel that I must send Epaphroditus back to you. He's been longing to see all of you and is troubled because you heard that he was sick. You know what he's saying right here? He's given us right here in this verse two examples of consideration. He's saying right here, Paul is considerate of Epaphroditus' desire to return home. So he said, I'm going to send him back. He wanted to go home. He was homesick, so he wanted to go back. And he was also, Epaphroditus was considerate of the Philippians. They heard that he was sick, and they wanted to see him again. So he was going to send them back on this journey from now from Rome back to Philippi. Folks, here's the deal as we bring this to a close. The key to your happiness, the more considerate you are of other people's fears and doubts and others' needs, whether it be your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or whether it's your neighbor or your coworker or someone else, maybe even your best friend, the more considerate you are of others' needs, the happier you're going to be. In fact, Paul says this in this last scripture I'm going to share with you. He says this, you must get along with each other. I'm going to say it again. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate. Considerate of one another. And now here's the word that I want you to look at. Cultivating. I want you to circle it or underline it. Big deal. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of each other, cultivating a life in common. You know, I think that every married couple ought to learn this verse together. You've got to get along well with each other. You've got to be considerate of one another. Doing what? Cultivating a life that's in common. You know, cultivating, that's planting, that's plowing, that's hard work. It's just like going to the gym and lifting weights. It's tough stuff. It's like doing these things to build up our spiritual muscles. That's what these workout routines for the happy heart are all about. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's hard. But the results will always be worth it when you cultivate a life in common. Husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, friends and neighbors and co-workers, you will be blessed when you put in to your life these workout routines for a happy heart. So, what are they? It is to move the focus away from yourself. Stand up as a person of trust and learn to get along well, to work alongside one another. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Thank you so much, God. You are an amazing God who never fails us. And we thank you, Lord, here on this Valentine's weekend. What an appropriate day it is for us to talk about this, because you want our lives filled with love. And thank you, Lord, that you are love yourself, and because you are love, we are loved. Because you are love, we are loved. And we are grateful and thankful, Lord, for the way you continue to bless us in our lives. We ask, God, that as we bring this series to a close, that you would help us, Lord, to put these qualities into our lives, these habits of happiness, that we can move the focus away from ourselves and realize that the sun doesn't revolve around us, and that we would be stand-up people of trust. And finally, Lord, that we may learn to work well with others. And as we do that, Lord, you have promised us that our unhappiness will decrease and our happiness will increase exponentially. And we love you, Lord, and praise you and are grateful for all the ways you've blessed us. And we give you thanks and praise in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Well, we are learning a brand new scripture we started last week right out of book of Philippians, right? And it's Philippians 4:19. We're going to say it together. We're going to start with the address of Philippians 4:19. Here we go. Ready? Philippians 4:19. God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. God bless you, everybody. God's going to meet our needs.